We do some songs at the end, eh? Cool. I want us to turn to a passage of scripture that I don't know if I've ever spoken on it, but yesterday, it wasn't yesterday actually, it's been for a long time. I've been really wanting to say a few words on a very short book of the Bible. It's called 3 John. 3 John. Did you know there was a 3 John in the Bible? And we're going to read it. Says the elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, my dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told I wrote to the, verse 7. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that they may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us, not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends have sent their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This is an odd little letter in the Bible in some ways, and so is 2 John, because when I thought, well, I better do a bit of background reading and see what it's all about, actually nobody seems to know anything about it. All commentators and writers can say is, well, we know John probably wrote it, but who to and who these characters are in the story, we really don't know who they are at all. But when you read this little letter, you get the sense that John's really pleased. He's really happy. In fact, he's rejoicing. He says to the receiver of the letter, but why is he rejoicing? What is it that makes him so glad? Well, he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John is saying, here am I, a leader in the church, and I'm hearing some good news, and that is you people who are Christian people in the church, we don't know where, are still walking with the Lord in the truth. He says, that brings me great, great joy. I'm really very happy and excited about that. Well, the theme of leaders having joy in their leading is not new. Of course, the book of Hebrews says, let them, that is, the leaders, lead with joy and not groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. That idea is right here expressed in this little letter of John. Is it chance? Is it just a random thing that John can say, I have no greater joy than to hear my children, that is my spiritual children, are walking with the Lord. They're walking in the truth. Has John just stumbled across a good bunch of people? Well, no, I don't think so. that idea is removed as you go through the story, and you hear of we read about this man called Diotrephes, who, well, he didn't sound like a really good guy at all. Bit of a troublemaker in the church. But it is clear that the news has come to John because the work of truth, the work of the gospel, is still at work in the lives of these people, not by chance, but by the fact that, yes, number one, Jesus clearly has been at work in their lives. Jesus has saved these people, and therefore they are still walking with Jesus. But there's another thing that comes out in this little letter as well, and it's this, that these people have had some wonderful examples to follow. In this case, it's John. They've had this apostle John, the disciple who Jesus loved very, very dearly. Remember, the apostle Paul said when he wrote in his letters in Ephesians, especially, he says, follow my example. Do what I do. Live as I live. And then at the end of this little book itself, indeed we have John saying in verse 11, he says, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. And he says, we have our testimony, and our testimony is good. So what he's saying to these people is, I and other leaders are walking in front of you, living in front of you, and what we say and what we do, it's actually very Christ-like, so therefore you can follow it. What a thing to say to a church. Man, imagine being able to say that. I'm not going to say it. Too scared to. But John could. Well, there's just three areas I just really want to quickly highlight for you that John is able to rejoice in with these people. And three areas that brings John to that point of rejoicing that are their example. I hope that's not too complicated. There are three things that they can look at John and say, you know, here is why we are what we are. Here is why he can rejoice in us. And it's because of what we hear from him. And the first thing is, please notice, is this, pastoral concern, sincere pastoral concern. He says this, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Life was going well with Gaius, so it seems, the man he's writing to. This man who John is writing to seems to be doing really well spiritually. He's strong in the Lord. He loves Jesus. He's living for Jesus. But notice that John doesn't just look at Gaius and go, that man's saved. His soul is right with the Lord. But he says, Gaius, I've got a prayer for you as well. And it's about your body and your life. I want to pray that everything goes well for you. John loves this guy. He has warm affection for him. And so he's not just, and I say in inverted commas, interested in his spiritual life. That's big. He is interested in that. But he's also interested in how Gaius is getting on physically. This is a wonderful illustration of how Christians should see each other. See, we should not have just a spirit. I say just, it's a big thing. Because the spiritual does bind us together in many ways. But our interest for each other should be far more than just spiritual. Are we getting to heaven? But it should include the whole person. That's the Christian view, I believe. It's the God view, the whole person. All are created in the image of God, by God, in grace. Psalm 139 tells us that. So today, whether you're male or female here today, whether you're white or brown or anything in between that, you are created in the image of God, by God, in the providence of God. Your birth is not something that was a mistake. Whatever the circumstances of it might have been, it's not a mistake. God was there. God worked in our bodies, and he still does, whether we are fighting fit and have got abs and what are the other things you call? Eh? No, I got them. Flabs. What are these? Eh? Biceps, yeah. So whether you're fighting fit or whether today you're like Jenny in a wheelchair, God is still at work in your body, right? God is still doing his work in your spirit and in your body. And he knows exactly where you're at physically as well. When you looked in the mirror this morning and whatever you did went on, you look in the mirror, but I go, is that me? God is there and God cares. See, I had a discussion with a person recently, a good Christian person, so this is not a bad story about them, and I hope it's not being recorded, Mark. And out of good intentions, they were asking me a little bit about what we do here in this over the years in the suburb, and I said, well, this. But then he said, well, I think what we need to do in our churches is to have more connection with government agencies, and we need to work like more with the police and other groups like that to deal with all the social issues that we have amongst young people, because I forgot to say we were talking about young people, especially. And I listened for a while, and then I said, you know what? I used to hold that kind of a view, but now I don't really. Because as Christians, that's not our starting point. Our starting point is coming back and saying, whoever it is in front of us, whatever the issues that are going on, whoever the person is, they are created in the image of God for the glory of God. And as Christians, our starting point is to actually go tell people, this is who you are. Created in the image of God for his glory. Lost, yes, but gloriously given the opportunity of redemption through Jesus. You see, the answer to a lot of the issues in life, the struggles, the brokenness, broken homes, the broken lives, the feelings of lack of self-esteem, of all of those sort of things, they lie in what John here is talking about. I pray that it will go well with you. John's saying, you know, guys, I care about your whole life, man. And I know that you're created in the image of God, and I really want the best for you. My heart is that it goes out to you because of how special you are. You're not just a saved soul, you're a person wholly saved by God. See, church, if we're going to bring rejoicing to our great leader, the Lord Jesus, then we need to see one another as whole, in this way, as whole people. We need to have a sincere, pastoral concern for one another. And there's a lot of kids here today. You guys, you listening? Girls, Queenie, you listening to me? Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. When you go to school this year, and you guys are studying science or anything like that, and the teacher says, hey, turn the page, and he's got a picture of an animal or a monkey, and says, well, you were evolved and you came up this way to be what you are today. I want you to put up your hand and say, mister, my pastor said that's a load of not true. And you say, I am created special by a wonderful God. Teacher, I'm not a monkey. You might be. No, don't say that. But I'm not a monkey. Will you do that for me? And then if the teacher says, now don't you talk to me like that, you say, well, excuse me, sir, ma'am, can I have Pastor Rob come and talk to the class? Or can I have John come and talk to the class? And can they tell us how special we are? And they will tell us that what this book says is actually only a man's idea, but it's not actually the truth. Will you do that for me? And you kids at Takanini School, you say Pastor Andrew said it. Okay, because I won't be here. So you can say that. Please. And you know, who knows, your teacher might be born again. Because you'll do it in a way that shows that you also care for them as whole people. People, as a church, we must see each other as whole people and have a 100% concern for one another's lives. And we should pray for one another. Lord, Lord, I want that person, I want their life to go well. I want them to be saved. But Lord, you bless them too in ways that you know is best for them. Second thing is, John recognizes that these people have a great concern for the truth. Gaius does. I've got to be careful here because this gets me into real trouble. This is when I want to point out differences between truth and what is not truth. You've got to be so careful out there today, people. John says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that you may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and that you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy to hear that my children are walking in the truth." See what John is really saying? You got to stick to what is right and what the Bible says about Jesus being the Savior, God the Creator. Anything else that takes you away from those truths is not true. I went on to a mainstream church website and I get afraid for the truth about what some of our churches are holding out or saying now. Christianity, as we have seen, gives a unique place to Jesus and claims that he is the truth and that it is only through faith in him, his death and resurrection, that people come into a new relationship with God. Some Christians claim that this means that all other religions are completely wrong and there is no hope for the followers of them. Many other Christians, though, while holding to the view that claim that Jesus is the only way to God, see much of the truth of Jesus, much of the truth that Jesus came to show being found in other religions also. Many followers of these religions therefore have an implicit faith in what Jesus came to show about God. Although they may not openly acknowledge it, in this understanding, Jesus is the fulfiller of these religions and completes what has only been partially shown in their religion. Now that's off a mainstream website. That is, if you were to read that, you'd be saying, what would you be saying to yourself? You'd be saying, well, yeah, there is Jesus, he's unique, but he's not the only one. And there may be other pathways to Jesus or to God. See, Islamic people are not going to agree with that. You know, let's not kid ourselves. They're not going to agree with that. Yeah, we wishy-washy Christians might think that sounds really nice because it's not offensive, and we don't want to offend anybody, and we don't want to claim to have truth in Christ. But John is clear. Anyone who wants to know God must know and receive Christ as equal to the Father. John 1 John 2 verse 23. Nothing less will do. John in this letter goes on to talk about that which is false, those who are spreading false teaching. You see, we got to be so careful today, these days, people. There's one Savior, Jesus. He is sufficient to save you, whatever you've done in your life, even if you've murdered somebody, hope you haven't. The Bible says, as Jesus said, if you think about it, you've kind of done it. It doesn't matter what we've done in our life, there's one Savior, Jesus. He can deal with it fully, sufficiently, completely. No ifs and buts about it. If you want to be in heaven, we all do. There's only one way, that's through Jesus on the cross, as we talked about earlier. No other way, no other ways to eternal life. It's not, it's, you know, and I got to say this, it's not through other religions. It's not through Islam, because Muhammad was a false prophet. I can show you that. It's not through Buddha. And it's not through people like Jehovah's Witnesses. And I know if you may have had exposure, you might even be one. I don't know, but I'm telling you the truth today. It's only through Jesus, because they deny 1 John 2:23. That if you know Christ, if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. They don't teach that. It's not truth. And then, of course, we've got a lot of the churches today who are saying, well, we can't have an exclusive claim on truth. You know, there's a little bit of truth in everything. Not when it comes to faith and doctrine. No. People, this is a good time for you to stay in a grace church. I hope you'll be told the truth. And that whoever stands up here and preaches when I'm gone, they're not gonna muck you around. They're not gonna pull the wool over your eyes and tell you, oh, you know, whatever you, however you want to get to God, you can find your own way. It doesn't matter, man. If anybody stands up here and tells you that, you kick their butt or kick them out the door. Be a better thing. It's not true. John says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. That is in Christ. And all that he is, and all that he has done, and all that he will do forever. Lastly, these people bring joy to John because they have a gospel concern. John commends Gaius for welcoming some brothers to his home. Gaius was obviously a very good man at hospitality. But who was he welcoming? Well, reading between the lines, we get the impression that the people he was welcoming were men and women who were going around encouraging the churches in that part of the world by teaching more truth about Jesus. And so these people were literally doing what Jesus told them to do. Remember, he said, when you go out, don't take a bag with you, don't take money with you, don't take a sleeping bag. You just go out and let the Lord provide for you. These men and women were doing that. And they turn up at Gaius's house and they knock on the door. Anyone home? You know, Gaius didn't have email. He didn't have Twitter. He didn't have texting. He didn't even have telecom, you know, the old dog and bone. He didn't have any of that. He may not even have known they were coming. He may have heard they were coming perhaps sometime, but on what day and at what time of the day, he wouldn't have known. And they turn up and they knock on the door, and his wife answers the door and says, Gaius, there's some people here for you. And Gaius comes to the door and they go, brother, we've come to stay. And they got nothing. No money. Gaius says, you come in. You brothers who are preaching the gospel, you men and women who are going around encouraging the church, you're welcome in my house. Come in. Let me feed you. Let me look after you so that you can carry on doing what you're doing, which is building the gospel. This action seems very much in contrast with a man called Diotrephes, who's very, we're told, is unwelcoming. This man, Diotrephes, in the church had one thing on his mind. He wanted to build himself a little empire in the church, gather people around him, you know, say, well, I'm the man, I'm in charge. But he had no interest in the gospel. He was only interested in his own ego. But not Gaius. He had learned the truth about Jesus, and he knew that he was called to promote that truth, whatever it cost him. And he was prepared to pay that price. These things brought joy to John. These things brought joy to John as his elder. But as I said earlier, and this is what I'm going to close with, above all, they brought joy to the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus, to the one who's the leader and the ruler of the church, the Lord Jesus. That's what John is conveying today. That those who care for one another with a deep love, that those who hold to the truth of Jesus in the gospel, that those who want to see the gospel go out into all the world so people can hear it, they're the ones who bring delight to the great pastor in heaven, to the Lord Jesus. As I leave you, Trinity people, I'm not asking you to bring me joy, okay? I am asking you to bring Rob and Dan joy by being these kind of people. But above all, as I leave you, I'm asking you, will you bring joy to the Lord Jesus by being this kind of people, by being a people who just love each other to death, but hold love alongside truth, as Ephesians says. Hold truth and love together. You won't compromise the truth, but you're never, never going to compromise love either, for each other especially. And then together, you bring those two things together. You have people who want to go out into the world. And when you see people going into the world, when you see one, when you hear of the stories of one another going into the community and sharing the gospel or doing a ministry like they're doing at Children's Church this morning, that you'll go to those people and you'll really encourage them. Now, I don't know what you're going to buy Muffy today, but please, after the service, you go to him and say, well done, mate, teaching those children out there the gospel. Going out of the service here, giving up his time to so that the young ones can hear the word, or those who go out on a Friday night, or those, whatever it is in the rest home, or whatever part I've forgotten about this morning, that you people encourage one another as you go out into the community and you see this church grow. Because the gospel is going out. Yes, we might run out of communion cups, and you may not do everything perfectly as some churches do things, but the most important thing is the gospel is going out into the community and the Lord is doing his work because you care about the gospel. May Trinity be a church whose members bring joy to Jesus through the sincerity and application to these things for his glory. Amen. Father, thank you that you are a God who is wonderfully good and gracious. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a wonderful gospel to receive. A gospel, Lord, that will live forever, as does the one who is the gospel, the Lord Jesus. Lord, may it live in the hearts of every person here, every child, every adult. Lord, may the gospel be a living thing. And may, Lord, this church, Trinity, Lord, continue to be a church that loves, that loves one another, loves the truth, and loves to see the truth go into all the world. Amen. Can I tell you a story? Don't know if I can. You know I'm not a Facebook man, don't you? You know I don't do Facebook. But Helen does Facebook. So if you want to get me on Facebook, you go to her. I don't think I can tell it. It's a short story. It's about someone who used to come here. Some of you may have seen it. I think Michelle probably. You check the Trinity Facebook. And we were just looking around, and I don't know, I just press buttons on it. And last night I pressed a button on it, and there was a link to someone who used to come here. And it said this. Hello to Trinity Church. Great to know you, that you're still going and doing well. You saved my life. Isn't that amazing? That's from, some of you remember Joan? Remember Joan? Who we dragged out of a house full of drugs and violence. And she's still got on her Facebook, my interests are Trinity Church. 5 years, she's been gone 5 years. But you saved my life.